Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you made that profession of faith in Him? Do you have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge? Or do you have just a head knowledge and not too concerned about your heart? Today you're going to see in John 17 a prayer that Jesus prayed, one of the greatest prayers there's ever been and will ever be. Because He prayed for Himself, He prayed for others, and He also prayed that we would learn His Word and study His Word every day. As we look at these 19 verses I want to talk about this morning, I want us to come to the understanding that no matter what we do in life, we need prayer. And we need abundant prayer every single day. Many theologians will tell you, if you study back in Scriptures, that if Jesus prayed this prayer, people would say, well, why did He pray for Himself? Because Jesus needed prayer just like you and I need prayer. You remember when the disciples came and said, teach us how to pray. And He gave them the thing of what did He say in Matthew 6, 9? He said, Our Father which art in heaven, and this is the key, hallowed be Thy name. See, He is a name that is hallowed. He is a name that is alive. He's got a name that's above all names, as we understand it in the Word today. We're to take the name of God to heart today and learn to love it with heart, mind, and soul, and become more mindful each day as we live for Him. He has given us everything. He has given us this new life we have as Christians. Do not take for granted at all in the life that you live that Jesus Christ is the center of everything we say and everything that we do. In this sin-sick, dying world that we live in, needs to understand that. And if Christians do not stand up and be recognized for who we are, who else is going to tell the world? The devil's not going to tell the world. The atheists are not going to tell the world. The agnostics of the world are not going to tell the world. The only person that's ever going to tell about Jesus Christ are those who have a personal, bona fide relationship with Jesus Christ. Please stand with me this morning in reverence and reading of God's Word, chapter 17 of John, the first five verses I will read this morning. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And Thou hast given Him power over all the flesh, that He should have eternal life, as to many, it says, and to give that to them it talks about, as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee, remember this verse, on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Remember that verse 4, how He glorified the Father. Let's pray. Father, this is the hour that we spend in sharing the gospel message and the proclamation of it, proclaiming Your Word to be truth. May this truth ring out within us today, and may our hearts be alive and well to receive what You have for us. For anyone within the preaching of Your Word today who does not have that relationship, may today be the day they come to know You and Your Son as Lord and Savior. For it's in His name we pray. You ever think about your name in particular? About what it really means? We share a name that is a name that is above all names. And His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. A man by the name of Dr. R.A. Torrey said these words. He talks about prayer. By praying for himself, he talks about, but in praying for himself, Jesus, he was also praying for us. Isn't that amazing? How the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us as He was praying this prayer. We are to be the same way in our life today. Some people say, well, isn't the prayer for self a little out of the way? Not really. How many of you pray sometime during the week for you, asking God to help you, to intercede in your life? Sure we do. Because we need prayer for ourselves too. We may pray for others. We may reach out to the Father and say, Lord, heal so-and-so. Help them with their finances. Help them with their spiritual walk, whatever it may be. We're always searching and seeking for God to intercede and intervene in the lives that we live today. Jesus was no different. When Jesus came into this world, he had one purpose, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. But until that day came, he was a minister, he was a prayer warrior, and he did everything that he could to let people know why he was here. But people still rejected Jesus Christ. How many of us today know people that still deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How many people tomorrow will also do the same thing? Thank you, honey. Will do the same thing, and the day after, and the day after. How many people sit in churches on Sunday who have never changed their heart? Have a head knowledge, as I said earlier. Attitude the same as it always is. Well, maybe I'll get mine tomorrow. Let me tell you what. You may never have another tomorrow because today is already tomorrow, which has already appeared today. See, we're always looking ahead for something better. There is nothing better in this life than putting Christ first. The Bible teaches us that over and over again. When the Bible says that in the beginning God, the Elohim, created, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there at that moment. That same Jesus that was in the beginning is the same Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary, is the same Jesus we pray to, is the same Jesus that's coming again to take us home one day to be with him. But until that day, continue to search your heart, see where you are in your relationship, and if it's not as strong as you want it to be, it can be strong by searching and seeking him every single day. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago in the Matthew 6:9, where it says, Hallowed be thy name. What does that really say to us? I serve a holy, holy, holy God. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. And I always remember this because it always tells us in Deuteronomy when they were praying, or in Isaiah really, it said this, that when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple and his seraphims were flying around, there's only one thing that he really caught his eye on or heard. It was this, where they were singing, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, is the same God we serve today. Go to Revelation, John chapter 4. Revelation 4, John said the same thing. He heard the seraphim flying around and saying what? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is the same God, my friends, that we serve today. He has not changed one bit. The only thing that has changed is the world that we live in and how people accept who Christ really is. We need more and more of Jesus every single day. Church people have become very lax in their attitude toward the Lord. We can either take it or leave it. Why is that? Because we do not have the mindset of how much we really need him. If I got a little bit of Jesus today, Warren, I don't need any Jesus tomorrow. Amen. Let me tell you what I have today I should expound upon tomorrow and grow even closer to him tomorrow. The next day, the day after, if it comes, I'm to grow every day in the word of the Lord. I'm to take his word, the Bible says, and hide it in my heart, to bring it back to remembrance when I need it, to share with someone else what God is doing with me, how he works in me. Jesus' name is very important because he is the Savior of the world. You can go back to the Bible and you study about people like Jacob. Remember Jacob? They called his name was meant to be schemer. To take by heed, it talks about. To take advantage of. That was his name. Isaac was known as laughter. You remember his mother, Sarah, when she was in the tent and said that she was going to have a child at the age of 90, and all of a sudden she laughed? Well, people can take it and put it any way you want, but this is what it really means. They laughed because it was, you know, wasn't going to happen. She didn't think, but the fact is they laughed after he was born because of the joy that Isaac brought to her and Abraham at that time. There was great joy there. Everything that we do is to reflect Jesus Christ, no matter what it is, in the lives that we live today. The joy, the love, and unity that comes together. And the psalmist even wrote in Psalm 31:15 these words, My times are in thy hand, and thy word, he says, is glory. If you study the scripture in this text, you'll find it 8 times in this text of 17 of John. It says this, glory. Glory in the Lord. Lift up the Lord. His glory is real. Everything you talk about today is his glory. You know, we talk about glorifying what? The Father, glorifying the Son, glorifying the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times we want to glorify ourselves. Let me tell you what, we got to get self out the way, put God first, to be centered in our lives so that we can glorify his most holy name. It's not to glorify me. It's to glorify the one who has given me life, given me abundant life, given me a new life and a new beginning and a new day. This is where we need to be set, and our minds should be set the same way. Who is the one that we serve today? I remember when it says in the Bible also, when Jesus said this in John chapter 2 and verse 4, when he said, Father, my hour has come, right? When Jesus thought about himself, he did not think really at that moment about what was going on with him, but he was thinking about everybody else until he finally got to Gethsemane, and what happened? He said, Father, if it be thy will that this cup pass from me, he said, let it pass. But he said, what? If it be thy will, let thy will be done. How many times have we asked the Lord, no matter what comes in our lives, say, Father, I want your will to be done in my life. I want you to work through me, to help somebody around me, or to reach out to somebody. But I want your will to be done through me to help somebody else. A lot of times we don't like to say that because we do not know what's coming sometimes. Let God's will be done. Well, Jesus knew what was coming. He was just trying to reiterate to us why he was here, to die for the sins of mankind, and he did that. Whether he was in the upper room and prayed this great prayer in John 17, or whether he was on his way to Gethsemane, or when he got to Gethsemane, the thing is this, he prayed a prayer that stands up. Look at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Jesus wasn't looking at Jesus. He was looking at one thing. Father, whatever I do, may you be glorified through what I do. May you be glorified. He got self out the way. Verse 2 said this, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give what? Eternal life to as many as thou hast what? Given him. Given who? Given Jesus Christ. He said what? He said, I'm dying for salvation for the world that we live in today. Salvation has never stopped from the day that Christ came into the world to the day he died, the day he went to the cross that we talk about, to the day he came out of the tomb, to sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Salvation has always been and will always be through Jesus Christ and no one else. No one. You can't get it through me. You can't get it through any man or woman that's living today. You're not even going to get it through the church. You're only going to get it through the Spirit that God indwells us with and fills us with when our lives are touched by Him. The Scripture is very plain. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Hear that word, lost? That was us before we accepted Christ. Maybe some of you are still on the lost side who need Christ today. Look at your relationship with where you are today. The human point of view here is this. The cross of Calvary was what they call a revolting display of man's sin when you look at the cross of Calvary. It was revolting for what he had to go through for us. When they beat him, laid him down to Golgotha, you know. When they hung him on the cross. I mean, think about the revolting sight that he was when it says he couldn't even recognize him. He'd been beaten so bad. But he was willing to give it all so that we can have all. This revealed to us on the cross something that's very important. It revealed how magnificent the grace and glory of God really is when Christ hung on that cross. You can say, boy, what a picture. What was the picture? The picture was of life. Even though his life was taken, the picture is of giving life, eternal life for all of us. You and I do not have to hang on a cross anywhere. We don't have to suffer the death that Christ suffered. He gave us, what, a way out. And how did he do it? By putting himself on the cross for us so that we could come to him and ask forgiveness and, my friends, bypass that cross. What did Paul say in his writings? He said, I'm crucified. I crucify the flesh daily. Why? Because he says, I feel within me what Christ went through. Now, Paul was close. You remember on Damascus Road when he was struck down by the blinding light? And all of a sudden he asked the Lord, you know, he said, Lord, what will they have me to do? How did he know it was the Lord? I'm going to tell you what, he got his attention in a mighty, mighty way. What does it take to get our attention today? To turn our hearts around, to turn our lives around. I didn't have a Damascus Road experience, but I had an experience of Christ coming into my life and touching me. Each one of them have our own, you know, stories about what Christ did. But my friends, we need something even more today than ever before. To display who we are in Jesus Christ. To be the picture that he wants us to be. To share the relationship. He said in verse 3 these words, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast what? Sent. There's only one true and living God, and his name is Jesus Christ. the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the only one. Now, verse 4 is really captivates this whole passage I'm going to look at. Because he said this, I have glorified thee on earth. Now, listen very carefully. I have glorified you on earth. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished the first part of it that he gave him to do when he came here. That was to die on a cross. But what is the second thing that's going to happen? One day he's going to come back. The trumpets are going to sound. The angels are going to shout, you know, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that remain be caught up in the sky in a glorified body. And we shall go be with him and set forevermore. Hey, that should excite you today. That should give you that joy and love, saying, boy, look what he's done for me. Look what he's doing for me. He's coming back for me one day. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you're coming back for this? You know? That you love me enough to say you're coming back to give me a better life than I've got now? I live a good life. I'll be honest with you. I praise the Lord every day for what he's done for me and for my family and everything else. But it's no life compared to the life that the Lord is going to give to me one day when I walk into that mansion in a place called heaven on streets of gold and glorify his most holy name face to face. But until that day, I've got his holy word. I've got the Bible that gives me the direction that I need to keep on the path that I'm going, to keep moving ahead and not to turn around and go back. Verse 5 said this, and now, O God, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory, he said, which I had with thee before the world was. Can you think about Christ for just a minute? Here he is at the beginning of time. And all of a sudden, he knows that one day he's going to have to come into this world and die for some people like us, the sin-sick world we live in. But to leave all of that behind him, all that beautiful place called glory, to come to this sin-sick world as a small child, to be raised by Mary and Joseph, to go into the temple at the age of 12 and be teaching in the synagogue to the priests and all that were there that day, and they were amazed instead of what he had to say. And you know what's really amazing? I always like to tell people this. At the age of 12, he was doing that. And his mother and father had lost him, didn't know where he was at, so he went back to the temple and found him, and we didn't hear from him for 18 years. Amen. What did he do? Must have had house arrest. I don't know. But what was he doing? The Lord was teaching and training him no matter what we look at. Even though he was the Son of God, he was still being taught and trained along the way. At the age of 30, he started his ministry around Galilee and all those places he went to. And what did he preach? He preached about what? The kingdom of God. You remember when John the Baptist said he was coming? There comes one greater than I. He'll be preaching what? The kingdom is at hand. What did Jesus preach? The kingdom is at hand. Well, let me tell you what, even though it's thousands of years ago, the kingdom is still at hand because Christ is coming again, and be prepared for that day. That's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a wonderful day for us as we come together. Now, when you think about life in general, you ever really think about what is eternal life? Somebody said, well, I'm going to live forever and ever and ever. Well, that's fine and dandy, amen, right? Sure you are. It is knowing God personally, and not just knowing about him, but having a personal relationship with him. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. That's what it's all about. Yes, I know him, but I have a relationship with him. Because Christ is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Mediator between man and God. He is there for me. I can talk to him. I can walk with him. I can fellowship with him every single day. And I don't have to go to somebody else and say, will you just pray for me, you know, that God will answer my prayer. I don't have to do that. I can pray to him myself personally, and I don't have to go to anybody else and say, would you ask God to forgive me of my sin, because you don't know my sin like I know my sin and like God knows it. So I have to go to him and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and failures and shortcomings. Because I know me. You know you. You know what's not right in your life that you need to get right day after day. The problem is we don't like to mention that we're wrong because we're just perfect people. Amen. You know, we think that we can walk on water. If you don't know where the rocks are, you ain't going to walk on water, let me tell you. You got to know where to step when you walk. How about Peter when he stepped out the boat? Remember that day? Lord, let me come to you. Oh, he had great faith. Yeah, he had faith. He stepped out, made two or three steps. The winds were blowing around him. The waves were high, and all of a sudden he started to sink. And what's the first thing he said? Lord, save me. Nobody else could do it. Because none of those guys in the boat were going to get out and help Peter, let me tell you. And Peter and the Lord walked back to the boat together. My friend, when you're drowning and you're sinking in the sins of this world, the only thing you need to remember is this, Lord, save me. Lord, I need you. Lord, comfort me. Help me. Sustain me. Put me back where I need to be. This is what we need more of every day. Now, if you look down from verse 6 to about verse 13, look what he says. I have manifest thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest, he said, them me. And they are, have what? Have kept my word. Now, listen very carefully as I read the rest of this text. I want you to catch something. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known, he said, surety, he said, what, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou, what, didst send me. They believe. Now, he's talking about the disciples, okay? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that, what, that thou hast given me, for they are thine, he says. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, why would he say that? He said, because they're out preaching and teaching about me. They're telling the world about me. They're doing what I have taught them to do as they went about, it says. And then he said this, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these, he said, are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. For listen to this. He said, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot. He was the one he talked about here. He said, all of them followed me. All of them walked with me. All of them heard what I had to say. And then all of a sudden, the son of perdition talks about Judas, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these, he said, things I speak in the world, that they might, what, have my joy fulfilled in them. I was reading that again last night and this morning. I thought to myself, when I was reading about, you know, they have followed me, I was so glad he put it there except for that one. Because if he hadn't said that, it meant that all of them followed, but one of them didn't. His name was Judas. And Judas is the one that sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Judas is the one that turned his back on him after hearing everything that Jesus did, right? He did not open up his heart. He did not receive him. He was not concerned about that. He was only concerned about Judas and what Judas could, what, gain from turning Christ in. He didn't gain anything, did he? Hung himself on a tree. Died. And as far as we know, he died and went straight to hell because he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That was Judas. Do you believe in God this morning? Do you really know his precious name that he has given to us? Do you really understand that the Father gave him to us as a gift? That's how I look at it. And he has gifted us with salvation. He has gifted us with his love. Through all eternity, he has done that. A great gift. No gift is greater than when Christ gave himself. Even in Romans 8:28, somebody, let's just turn that this morning. Romans 8:28. I think most of you might know this. Because it talks about the relationship. It talks about how good the Lord is to us. And he said these words as I get through this page here. He said this. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. What is his purpose for you? To love him with heart, mind, and soul. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and he justified them, he said, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God is walking for us and God is with us, who can be against us? Not even the devil. Oh, he tries to usurp his authority, but let me tell you what. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. The demons know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tremble from his name. If they tremble from his name, why should we tremble when we hear the word Satan or devil? We shouldn't, because if Christ is living in us, we can stand against anything, we can overcome anything, and we can be what God wants us to be. But your focus has got to be on him and him alone. It's where it needs to be. Think about this. He was glorified. He glorified his Father. He praised his Father. Even after going through what he was going to go through, he still praised him. Could you see yourself in that situation praising God for going through something like that? Most of us would say, no, I cannot see that. Even the little difficult times that we go through in life, we don't even like those. What happens when things aren't right in our life today? Why do we have the ups and downs? The problems and situations of life come along for one reason. That we'll keep our focus on him. That's the main purpose. And to get through each situation with him, with us. Not by ourselves in any way, shape, or form. We're not to do that. But we're to give him our all in all, as the Bible teaches us. Because he is the Son of God. He knows all things. He provides all things. But man will fail him time and time again. But even though we fail God, we know where to turn to when we fail him. To turn back to him. To get our lives back where they need to be. I hate to think about walking in this world today without Christ in my life. Years ago, to me, it didn't make any difference. But I'm going to tell you what, after I see what the world's doing today, I'm so glad he came into my life. We're blessed to have a Savior that cared that much for us to give his all for us. What does the Bible teach us in Romans 12:2? Be not what? Conformed to this world, but ye transform by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your life. You see, we're not to be conformed to what this world is doing today. We're to be transformed by the Word of God, that our lives will be what the Word teaches us to be. We're to be holy, acceptable unto him, which is the reasonable service that we have today. You remember old Paul in the end of his life? What did he say? I fought a good fight, huh? Boy, he said, I was wrestling every day with the devil, he said. Man, he gave me a thorn in the flesh. He said, I went to you three times, and you wouldn't take it away from me. And I figured it's like this. He gave it to you for one reason, to keep your focus where it needed to be. That was on him. Man, when we have problems in our lives, remember this. Our focus needs to be on him. When you get sick, what he did last week when I was sick, right, I had a lot of time to think about things. You know, couldn't talk, couldn't eat, couldn't do nothing. You know, sit there and think. I tell you, sometimes it draws you even closer and closer to the Lord. Because your mind said is where it needs to be. Sometimes God will put you on your back so that you'll have to look up. Sometimes he'll put you in situations where you have to look up. He does these things for what? To help us grow in the relationship. If you're not growing in the relationship, then what are you doing? You're faltering. You're failing. You're not becoming strong. You're not becoming the overcomer the Bible teaches us about. We studied the book of Revelation time and time again. I think we got some other things we're doing, but we finished that last year. And everything in the book of Revelation other than one thing, overcoming. Overcoming. You can overcome anything in this world if you're walking with the Lord. He didn't say he was going to make it easy, but he said, I will get you through each step. I will strengthen you each day. I will help you. Any of y'all run track in high school or in college or anything? Did you? Huh? Who'd you run? Okay. You ever run hurdles? You ran hurdles? Did you put bottle caps on top of it so you cut them off? Didn't you do that in your day? Okay. The question is this. When you were running those hurdles, You're supposed to clear them at a certain height. If you were good at it, they'd put a bottle cap on top of it. You could cut it off and never knock it down. That's how they train them. You know that, did you? I got to give a little history today. That's what they do. My thing was, I tried it in high school. I had more hurdles on the ground than myself on the ground than I did anything else. That was an obstacle there, right? And the thing was to get over the obstacle. You're running, you want to get over the obstacle. The fact is, when you hit the obstacle, what did it do most of the time? If you missed it, you got tangled up in the obstacle, didn't you? And then you wonder why you were laying on the ground, because you missed it. Let me tell you what, life is like that. All kind of obstacles are in our way. We're like on a course. We're running a course every day. And things get in our way. But let me tell you what, we're able to overcome any obstacle in our life, no matter what it is, if we depend on Him. You can do it. Like running that race, you know, you can do it. But you have to be focused. And that focus has to be in one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me finish up with you. Look at verse 13 again. And now I come to thee. These things I spake in the world, that they might have what? Joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath what? Hated them. Because they are not of the world, he said, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest, what, take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest take them, keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify even them, he says, through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, listen to it, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You see, we have His Word. Because in the beginning was the Word. We already know John 1:1. Isn't that true? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Who was that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You go down and read the Scripture, says He came into the world, and the world what? Received Him not unto themselves. Because they didn't know Him. Well, let me give you a little pop your bubble this morning. The world still doesn't know Him. Care less about the one who has given us life. This word should be so precious to you and me. We just keep this with us at all times. All times. I remember May years ago. Bible, she gets big in Bible school, you notice that. We were doing a Bible school and May come running down the aisle with, she'd gone crazy. What are you, Dottie May that day? Dottie Mae, she come running down the aisle that morning or that night. How can I hide this word in my heart? How can I hide this word in my heart? You know, it's too big to get in there. And she had a Bible that was this big, I think, you know. The problem was that what she was trying to demonstrate was this. You're not going to take this book and shove it in there. You've got to open this book and read it and put it here so you can get it here. That's what it came down to. And we discussed all those things that week in Bible school. You see, you've got to open this book up. You've got to read this word. You've got to apply that word to your life. And until you do, you won't get past square one. And what is that? Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. What is His word to do for us today? I'm going to close right here. His word is to encourage us. Not to discourage, but to encourage us to live our lives according to the precious word called the Bible. God's word to us from a holy God to a loving Son to the Spirit that indwells us.